Welcome to today's show. I'm here sitting here on the board with a very interesting person, Matteo Spasso from Italy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Can you tell us about yourself?
Yes, I'm an Italian dentist. I'm working in Milan at the University of Milan, where in one of the three university clinics of my university, I'm the head of quite a strange department. I mean, it's a wide department making mainly prosthodontics, digital dentistry, but the big part of my soul there is dedicated to the MI treatment. It means minimum intervention treatment. It means from the early lesion on the teeth till biggest problem of for those patients with subsidiary problems like elderly people or people taking drugs or people with something more difficult to treat in the mouth.
Okay. We just had a talk before we started the recording and you told me something interesting that when you started working, you had a lot of materials who were just really temporary materials, needed something to solve problems with bleeding gums, deep caries. What kind of materials were these temporary materials?
Yeah, at that time, it means close to 20 years ago, the temporary material that I considered for my restoration was a glacionomer. And this material was not a young material. It was, I believe it was created in the 70s, but then it has been transformed just in a few parts. And it remains a whitish, but not so strong material for many years. So this material was something that was considered by dentists, not only by me, just for temporary filling when the conditions were not so good for a composite, for example, for a bleeding gum or for a deep caries or just performing an endodontic treatment in a big cavity when you had to create a sealed cavities. But my experience was quite bad, I'm sincere, because they were not lasting so much.
So not lasting meaning that it even didn't even survive 1 year or 2 years, or you're crossing your thumbs that it's 2 years?
Yes, my personal experience is that those materials were breaking somewhere partially or totally even before a few months.
Ah, okay. So when did that change? When did you find materials who suited more your needs?
Well, like in many things in dentistry, I believe that they change before I change my mind. And I will explain this story to you, because in 2007, I still remember that moment. One man came to my clinic, to my university clinic, offering me a green box of glacionomer. He knows, and he knew at that time, that I was one of the few Italian dentists using glacionomer very often in his private practice. And he told me, please, Matteo, consider this not as unusual glacionomer cement, but a long-lasting material, so a restorative system. It was made by a glacionomer and a covering liquid that still remain right now. I'm sincere, as I told you before, that I told that man, I don't trust you. And since he was so convinced about his ideas, I told him, okay, no problem. I will build clinical study around this material, demonstrating you that it will not work. And this clinical trial I did over glacionomers involving more than 360 restoration, made in different kind of cavity. It means going back to classification, class 5, 1 and 2. Those were more or less the indication and are up to now the indication for that material. I included more than 360 restoration and I observed them every 6 months at the beginning and then every year. We had actually the follow-up reaching 10 years on the first material on the first restorative system that was called Equia, the first Equia restorative system. What was surprising me was that results we obtained in several classes, like class 1, were close to 100% of success at 1 year, at 2 year, at 3 year. A little less for class 2, but because of
just one short question between.
Yeah.
Did the classic glacionomer didn't last even in class 1 fillings?
They lasted even in the past more than other classes, but there are many defects, both in colors or in material itself, that are classified normally or used like parameters to judge a restoration like failure.
Ah, okay.
So in the edges especially, or in the in a partial lateral side, especially in the edge in between the enamel and the glassionomer, we often, even in class one, we often observed a lot of cracks, breakdowns, or a total loss of restoration.
Oh, interesting. But you didn't see that in this first Ikria.
We observed something that I'm joking a lot now. I'm sad to have lost this bet with that man, but he was right. It lasted. It was very, very successful material in my hands. But another very nice story is that I obtained those results. Of course, manufacturer wanted me to claim those results, but you know, I was quite shy because in dentistry, everything that claims to be successful 100%. Up to being a clinical dentist, it's something that cannot happen. But after 1 year, 2 years, first of all from Germany, but then even from Turkey, from Australia, now they have plenty of clinical trial. They had absolutely the same result, 100% successful in the first year and second, three. We have actually clinical trials from Turkish universities, for example, claiming at 6 and 7 years success rate of 100%. So I was a little bit shy, but probably I had to be more courageous.
So everybody understands, for example, the young dentist who might listen to it, that this was really a game changer than before.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. It's an interesting thing that even Equia now got even better lately. What changed for you with the change of the Equia product? Did you also expand your indications clinically, or are they still the same for you?
Well, from mine and also other colleagues' clinical trial, we basically discovered that those material, those restorative system were a little bit weak in some performances. For example, class 5s, or what those classes where you had a few number of cusps, or even when the empty box or the cavity was quite big, we observe a little bit more failures or marginal cracks or breakdowns. We started to think that flexural forces, especially for class 5, were more important for the failures. And so we asked, and we start thinking that some new material able to face to flexural forces, to be basically, this is the clinician idea, more similar to natural dentin, was a better choice for us. And we are dentists anyway, and we are not chemists, but now we know that chemistry can help us a lot because this material arrived, and hybrid material is now the answer for glassionomer, for long-term glassionomer, I believe.
Interesting. And now even like the shade adaptation with the HD even improved a bit. We also talked about a bit about aesthetic dentistry in the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably no one on Facebook will show a very nice case with an aesthetic Equia filling. But compared to your experiences, did it really change so much? Is it really like a small milestone for dentistry?
Well, giving this kind of restorative system is for sure a milestone for dentistry, because up to me, there is no a modern dentist in the world that can make the right job without a bioactive and biomimetic material like a glassionomer. Then I'm also a big lover of composite. I'm using them a lot. I still consider them like the publication and science is considering them like the gold standard for aesthetic restoration. Glassionomer are actually a little more aesthetic than in the past, but for sure they cannot reach the composite. Mm-hmm. But the multiple shade and the knowledge in the material you are using make the story easier, because you can also match the color of the teeth. But of course, as for any composite, any restorative material, you have to know your product. So at the beginning, probably, you are just choosing the shade of your glassinomen, but without knowing it, maybe you make some mistakes. But like composite, then you will adapt your job. Basically, they are not aesthetic as composite, but we are choosing glassionomer because of their function, their protection, and then just for a few of them, even for aesthetic treatments. So you can merge an aesthetic aspect, but mainly they are powerful tool for dentistry.
Actually, I also already had a podcast with Mr. Dorf Heide. You probably know him for sure. And he's told me something interesting that I didn't know before, that matrixing is much more important in aquia fillings than they initially thought. So what your thoughts about matrixing and what you would rather recommend the clinician in terms of matrixing and aquia fillings?
Well, Mr. Dufat introduced this technical part that is something that really, I believe, dentists can feel like something clinical. Matrixing is exactly what I told before, the answer to the request of having something more resistant or more flexible, more like the natural dentist. And clinically speaking, this is what dentists can feel and observe, and patient can also appreciate, make those products to last more. Matrixing is the answer to a clinical request, because glassionomer technology is always the same. But inside, there is a different material and different technology that make probably the material to overpass limits that cannot be overpassed, just being a glassionomer. So probably he's right. Matrixing is the answer. Clinically speaking, maybe it's not something that the dentist can appreciate in a chemical way.
Okay.
But they can absolutely appreciate in a clinical way. Being a clinician, I'm just sharing this because I know what are all the limitation, all the problems, and all the bad ideas also still now in Italy, especially, it's a very hard country, dentists have upon glassionomers. For them, the idea is that coming from the 80s, the glassionomers are still provisional, but they didn't try.
Italy is also a different country when it comes to public healthcare and dentistry, where it's not included in the public healthcare system.
Almost at all.
Yeah. So usually when I see countries who are having no really a public healthcare or something, that the trend is rather to go to something very basic or to something very high-end, and there's no really thing in the middle. But actually, aquia could be something like in the middle. So yeah. I can believe it's really hard for the Italian market to introduce this material, although the scientific data is there.
Yeah, that's right. But you should consider even this one, at least for our countries and for other countries where aesthetic is very high. At the university, not so far away, I believe 15 years, 10 years, there was any lecture, any course, including glassionomer restoration. 100% was composite restoration. Sometimes amalgams, but just to teach to the students how to shape, you know, because it was a basic and costless material for them, even for universities. Now glassionomers came up, and their use in the university also increased. But basically, there are a lot of dentists that grew up in the university without knowing that material. So everything that is happening now is something that is coming just in the last, from 2007 when I started the bet with my friend. But because the product arrived that time in Italy. But yes, absolutely, this material is not a basic material, even if many dentists still consider this material. It is a mid-lever material, some of them with the matrices even more, much more. But if the dentist will start to consider, even in countries where aesthetics is 100% important, those materials, because of their function, being sure that the aesthetic is not so bad, and knowing it more and more, the aesthetic will also increase, because you know you can increase also your knowledge in the results you can obtain. For sure, this material is not properly in the middle, but is going more closer to it's going closer to the aesthetic ones.
Okay, I mean, right now in Germany we have the kind of problem that amalgam was basically banned from the German market. It's not really banned. We still have allowed to use it in certain indications. I think GC is one of the last companies who are actually thinking about an amalgam alternatives, whereas other companies need to just focus on the composite resins. Actually, there's no excuse anymore to not use.
No, no. Even politicians are discussing about us, and there is more or less this agreement that in the 2026 amalgam should be banned in Europe. Personally, my last amalgam has been made in 1999.
So actually, I know where my last amalgam was made. It was 2009.
Yeah.
But I was doing a small internship on the Cook Islands, and in the posterior, actually, it was a great material for this moist environment because it was so hot.
Yeah. There is this also this common ideas for all dentists or even patients that we can observe amalgams lasting in the mouth of the patient for 30 years, but no composite or no glacianomer. But, well, at the time, an amalgam, 30 years old amalgam at least, has been placed, the composite, were not the composite we have now.
Yeah.
So, and neither, obviously, glacianomer.
Yeah, that's usually the one misconception, but always we only see the successful amalgams. We never see the failed amalgams.
Yeah, right.
It's also the typical peace of mind when sometimes I also see old dentistry. I used to work in an office where the dentist has been there for 20 years. So I can also see some old gold-based prosthetics, which really high technical precision work, but I only see the successful ones. The unsuccessful ones we don't really tend to see. As an endodontist, I'll try to get some recall rates for some cases, and when I really realized how hard it is to get good recall rates, which are in the area of, let's say, 50%. Yeah. You're working in the university and your recall rates are probably very important as well.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't even know how you guys manage to get something like 70% recall rate.
Yeah, that's right. But I believe that it's mandatory at this moment to get the success in restorative dentistry, to make also recalls and to ensure the right treatment to the right patient. I mean, composites, I told before, they are the most aesthetic ones, but not really. Believe me, not all the patients deserve this material because they are not able to protect my job in the mouth and protect, of course, themselves from secondary caries or other problems. So the answer should be modulated very well.
But seriously, I mean, in high need cases, I think the recall rate is even much harder to obtain because in elderly patients you have a high natural dropout rate, let's say it this way. And when the drug abuse cases, it's probably also very hard to get a recall. So if you have even 10-year data, it's quite impressive.
Yeah, that's the ability there is what we always. At the beginning, we had 360 restoration. Now that 10 years, we are 140 and something. So we are just closing up the recall now. We lost a lot, of course, but because of many reasons you told before. But it's interesting even to consider what you told about the elderly. That is one big field in our daily practice, because we start considering their treatment not just when they are at that age with the problems, but before. This tendency in dentistry is very important now, and we are like a leading lighthouse in my university for this, because we got ideas. We're not maybe so original because of many countries doing more or less the same thing. Maybe we are original in the next ideas, but just starting considering for certain treatment patients that are not already elderly or old, when they have problems, when they have no ability to go back to the dentist, no assistant, whatever can occur to an elderly. Sometimes it's quite hard to say to a 55 years old man that he should start considering that he is entering in the next age. But obviously the explanation is not you're old, but you should consider then in within 15 or 20 years, problems of that age are this, this, and this. And if you prepare yourself, maybe placing different material, maybe using different toothpastes or remineralizing agents, changing some habits like in diet, will absolutely make the patient able to preserve the dentition for the future. So it's not to say you're old. Is just to say you're ready for a remineralizing process, you're ready for a different therapy, or you're ready for a glaciosoma.
That's a good closing sentence, actually. So thanks a lot for the talk. I really like the stories here.
Yeah, thank you.